let another take, therefore, of these men. And so mark that phrase, these men, which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a, mark the word, witness, a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he numbered with them the 11 apostles. Okay, so here we have a story about a man and an activity here where the Lord had removed one of the disciples, one of the apostles, and they selected another. So here was a position that was filled. Go with me to Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6, verse 1 through 7. Acts chapter number 6, 1 through 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the work of the Lord and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out, and here's the phrase, among you. Okay? Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and the ministering of the word. And of course, it talks about Stephen being a man full of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and it gives those men there. Go with me also to the last selection, the last passage, Acts chapter number 13. Acts 13, and then we'll get into what we want to say today. Acts 13, verse number 1 through 3. The Bible says, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for, and mark this phrase, the work. Okay, the work whereunto I have called you. When they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And they sent them away. He says, Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called you. Okay, so here we have the early church, and there was some positions that needed to be filled. There were problems that needed to be solved. There were people that needed to be involved. And most of you know, or most of you understand, our ministry in Bible publishing and printing the Word of God and sending it all over the world, there's great need. You know that. You know there's great need. You know that people need the Word of God. What a blessing today to have a copy of the Word of God in front of us, to be able to open up the Scriptures and read and study and understand and have a relationship with the Lord through His Word. And so we understand that, but there are many people around the world that do not have that opportunity, that's never had the Word of God. Just like we talked a moment ago about the Thadu people, they're still waiting to have the Word of God in their heart language so that they can read it in the language that they were born with and understand the Word of God better than they can by borrowing or looking at somebody else's language and trying to figure it out for themselves. I tell you what, this morning I would have a much easier time reading the Word of God in English than I would Hebrew. Okay? Has I am What is our situation? Where are we at in the world? What is the need? What are the problems? What are the positions that we need filled today? If it's the church, and if we go to the church to fill the positions, you know, we could come around this church and we could probably look around Pastor Schweitzer and find needs. Dr. Keene made this statement, and this is a statement that I've known for a long time. Matter of fact, my daughter, when she was growing up, she actually thought this was scripture. You know, you say some things and oftentimes you feel like that's scripture. It's in the Bible somewhere. But we had to fix that. But the statement was this: a need seen is an assignment given. A need seen is an assignment given. You know what that means? You go out here in the parking lot, you go out to your car, you see a piece of paper on the ground, what do you do? Now, come here. Pastor, there's a piece of paper here. Can you get that? No, you don't do that. Or Pastor Red K or whoever, hey, custodian. No, a need seen is an assignment given. If you see the need, and God has shown you the need, then whose assignment is it? It's mine. It's my assignment. And so, as we see needs in the church, we ought to fulfill those needs. We ought to take care of those needs. We ought to, maybe it's a Sunday school, maybe it's a whatever it is. A need seen is an assignment given. So we have needs here in the church. We have needs in our community. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. We have needs in our community. Global needs. It must be accomplished. 7.6 billion. Obviously, that's even grown since we did this circle. But so we're just going to say the point. In the world today. Out of all the countries in the world, there's about 196 distinct borders, okay? When I say countries, I mean borders, okay? So it's a political border, if I can say it that way. So about 196 countries in the world today, 7.6 billion people, 7,105 known languages in the world. There's about 14,600 people groups, okay? You say, Brother Money, what's a people group? Well, basically a people group is when we say, we can say us, and them. Basically, it's a people group can speak a language, they can communicate unhindered, they understand the same culture. We kind of break that down into four sections: language, lineage, laws, and land. And so land's a part of it, but it's not all of it. When you talk about a country, we're talking about land, land places, political borders. When you talk about a people group, you're talking about people that can communicate information unhindered, and so those are people groups. So the people calculate people groups differently in the world, but we're going to use the figure 14,600 distinct people groups. In the Bible, this is what's called nations, okay? When we talk about nations in the Bible, we're not talking about political borders. We're talking about people groups, okay? There's not going to be someone from every political border rejoicing in heaven, every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. It's going to come from the people groups, okay? And that's what a people group basically is, without me going into too much. Okay, so that's kind of an overview of the world. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to blue tape your auditorium. No, just kidding. You still with me today? Amen. I'm going to divide this auditorium in one third and two thirds, okay? So what I'm going to do right now is, just for illustration, I'm just going to do this very simply. And this is about, I would say, Brother Red K, wouldn't you say it's about a third? Wouldn't you say somewhere in that area? And this is probably two-thirds, okay? So this is two-thirds. This is somewhat one-third. I might be a little bit off, but that's okay. You understand what we're saying. So landmass of the world, we've just divided the world into one-third and two-thirds. Where do you think the majority of the population is in? One-third or two-thirds? Now, you don't have to answer that, but you can think in your mind. The majority of the population, is the majority of the populations in two-thirds of the world's landmass, or is the majority of the population in one-third of the world's landmass? And you'd say, well, Brother Money, it depends on how you divide the landmass. And that's correct, because Antarctica probably wouldn't have a lot of people in it. But I'm talking about this morning what's called the 1040 window, okay? You say, Brother Money, what's a 1040 window? Well, basically, without me going into too much this morning, 1040 window is if you take the equator and go 10 degrees north, around Africa, go 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north, and you draw lines at those latitudes, and you box it off in West Africa, and you go all the way to Japan. That would be called the 1040 window. You say, well, I can't really picture that. Okay. Well, the 1040 window is basically North Africa, all the Middle East, and Asia. Okay? That's pretty simple. So, North Africa, Middle East, and Asia. So when we say the 1040 window, or we say one-third of the landmass, this 1040 window is in this section of the world, okay, we would say that two-thirds of the population is in one-third of the landmass. There's more people living in the 1040 window than the other part of the world. So two-thirds of the population is in one-third of the world, leaving one-third of the population in this area where you've divided into two-thirds of the world. Are you with me? Excited? Okay, here we go. Good. Amen. So, two-thirds of the population is over here in one-third of the world, and one-third of the population, two-thirds of the world. So, make sure I keep that correct. So, let's just talk about this section of the world for just a moment. Did you know that there's 5.4 billion people living in 68 countries in this side of the world? 5.4 billion people living in one-third of the landmass, but they're two-thirds of the world's population. Over here you will find 8,643 people groups. Out of the 14,600 people groups in the world, 8,643 are on this side of the world. If we were to say, not only do we look at people groups, but we look at unreached people groups. You say, Brother Money, that's a lot of terms you're giving us this morning. A people group is a community of people that can communicate information freely, that understands culture, that understands those things. But an unreached people group is a people group that doesn't have enough gospel, that doesn't have enough followers of Christ to be classified. They don't have enough to evangelize their own people, okay, which is typically under 2% of the people. So out of the 8,643 people groups that are in this section of the world, 5,934 are classified as unreached. There's over 5,000 people groups on that side of the world that doesn't have enough followers within their people group to evangelize their people. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? So over here, there's a great need. Can I say this? There's a great need in all the world today. All the world. There's a great need on your street today. I guarantee you, the street you live on, there's people that need the Word of God. There's people in this community. There's people in this state that need. So I'm not saying that there is not a need over here, but I'm just pointing to a great need in this part of the world. Okay? So over 5,000 people groups, there's not enough followers within their people group to evangelize them. Over here we have 3.4 billion people. That number I just gave you, the over 5,000 unreached people groups, that's about 3.04 billion people. That's about 83% of the world's unreached people group is in this section of the world called the 1040 window, and they have great needs there. Now, what did we say before? A need seen is an assignment given. Just keep that in mind. Okay? Need seen, assignment given. In this part of the world, you'll find where the home of major religions came from, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, and unreligious. Okay? Unreligious. And so that's what you'll find in this part of the world, in that 1040 window, in that section of the world where most of our population, 2/3 of our population, over 5,000 unreached people groups are in that area. You also find the top 50 least evangelized, top 50 least evangelized mega cities are in this section of the world. Mega cities. Top 50 least evangelized mega cities are in that part of the world. You'll find in this part of the world, most of the persecution of Christians, 45 out of the 50 countries, out of the 50 top persecuted countries in the world, are in this section of the world. So there's great need. If you took all the poor people in all the world and you said, we're going to take the poorest of the poor people, 8 out of 10 people would be found in this part of the world. 8 out of 10 people would be found in the 1040 window, this part of the world. 8 out of 10 of the poorest of poor would be found there. Now, you'd say, Brother Money, if there's 1/3 of the population in 2/3 of the landmass, and there is need everywhere, okay, there's need everywhere, but there's a really big need here. I mean, don't we see a need here? Haven't you seen that there is a need, that there is much to be done in this work? Where would you think the majority of our missionaries are sent today? Where would you think? If there's 5,000 people groups that there's not enough gospel, there's not enough followers, there's not enough people that know the Lord that can evangelize them, would they be here? Well, you would think that would be the case. But it said that less than 10% of all missionaries, that's not counting, that's not just our circle, not our circle, but this is all over, everybody. About 10% of missionaries are going, less than 10% are going to this section of the world. And there's reason for that. There's reason for that. And now, again, do we need missionaries in Mexico? Sure we do. Sure we do. But there's an area of the world that we have great need for. Out of that less than 10%, less than 3% is going to the unreached people groups of the world. Less than 3% of that 10% is going to the unreached people groups in this area of the world. Okay? Our missions giving, it's said that less than 1% out of every dollar, less than 1% out of every dollar given at all in Christianity goes to reaching that area of the world. Can I say this? I read a statistic not long ago. I read this statistic that people spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than go to reaching that part of the world. Now that's convicting, isn't it? That's mind-blowing. And so more people, the more money is spent on Halloween costumes for pets than are going to reach these people. You've seen this statistic before, but 85% of the Bibles ever printed were printed in my language and yours. At least 677 languages today, and we're going to up that soon, but about 677 languages have a complete Bible in their language. 1,550 have a New Testament in their language. Out of the 7,000 known languages of the world, That's not much, is it? Which leaves 4,878 languages that have a portion or absolutely nothing. And so the need is great. I'm just saying, the need is great. The need is great here. The need is great in your community. The need is great in your church, in your state. The need is great in the U.S. We could all say that, couldn't we? The need's great here. But there's many people that don't have a Bible in their language. And that's 15% of the Bibles left are to cover the 7,104 known languages of the world. So Brother Money, you say, what are you trying to do? I'm just trying to show you a need. I'm trying to show you a need of the world. And we have little time. We've got such little time. Go back with me to our passage here. Let's go back to Acts chapter number 1. And I just want to share a few things. What do I see in the early church and what do I see in the local church? I think, first of all, we need to see the need. I think we need to see the need of the world. I think we need to see the needs around us. I think we need to see that there's opportunity that awaits us. There's availability for all of us to be involved in the work of God. And so what do I find? Well, I found in this passage, in the passage that we read, three positions that needed to be filled, three problems that needed to be solved, and positions or people that needed to be involved in the work. So there was positions or there was places that needed to be filled, there were problems that needed to be solved, and there's people that needed to be involved. And you know what? That's what I see in the church today. That's what I see in what we're doing today. I see places that need to be filled. There's positions that need to be filled. There's people that need to step up and to get involved more. There are problems that need to be solved. There are issues that we that have the answer, that have the Word of God, that know what's right and wrong, need to step in. And there are people that need to be involved. I'm so glad for a church that is faithful. I'm so glad for people who, you know, I don't know how many years it's been since I've been here, but there's many great people that are still here and more people that are coming. There's places to be involved in. So what I saw is in Acts chapter 1, I saw the area of a voice. Justus and Matthias, they were looking at them. They were nominated for this position, but God selected them. God selected them, and they had a unique selection process. Probably something we wouldn't use today, but they had a unique selection. And I saw the area, the position that needed to be filled was the voice. Okay? Then we looked over at Acts chapter number 6, 1 through 7. There was an issue. There was in chapter number 1, there was a void. Okay? Now here was people that were being neglected. Okay? And so the need here was neglecting. The first chapter we see that there was a void. There was a position open. The next passage in chapter 6 we saw that there was a neglect. There was an area that was being neglected that needed help in. And it was a daily ministration. It was to serve tables. It was to be over the business of the church. And there were hands that needed to be involved. So I saw the first problem was a problem of voice. People need to step up and speak. Those that need to be a witness, okay? We marked that word in chapter number 1. There was a witness area that needed to be filled. And here we have hands. I'm a hands-on guy. I like to do things with my hands. And so in this area, in chapter number 6, there was a need, and they needed hands. They needed people to get involved. They needed people to be hands-on. And so we see the hands. And seven men were selected in that passage. And then we see Acts chapter number 13, that there was a need in the world. Okay, there was a need in the world. So two of the needs were more locally or more regionally. But here we have in chapter number 13, It was a global need. It was need to go into all the world. It was need to be sent out. It was a need to go forth out of the body. And so as I look at this body, I see a voice, I see hands, and then chapter number 13, I see the feet. The feet. Those that carry the good news. And so I think it's the same need. The needs that were there in the early church are the same needs that we have today. I'd like to say it was a legitimate problem. Wouldn't you say so? The needs that they had was a legitimate problem. And I'll give this to you quick. It was a legitimate problem. There was a void. There needed to be a replacement there in chapter 1. There was a neglect. Someone was going there was a big neglect. And then I see the work in the last one was not being done. It was not being done elsewhere. And so I see a legitimate problem. I see that the problem was being exposed. Let me ask you the question. Are you solving the problem or are you causing the problem? That's a big question, isn't it? Are we problem solvers or are we problem causers? In the church today, as we look into this body, as we look into the people, we need to be problem solvers. They had needs, they had places to be filled, they had problems to be solved, and there needed to be people involved. And so we see a legitimate problem here. Then I look not only about the legitimate problem, I see the leadership pool. Okay, I see a legitimate problem, and I see the leadership pool. Let's look at this real quickly. Where did the solution from the problem come from? The problems that they had, the problems that they dealt with in the early church, where did the solutions of that problem come from? It came from the church, didn't it? It came from leadership. It came from the body. Let's look at the words that we circle. Verse number 21 of chapter 1, of these men. That was the leadership pool. That's where they selected it. They selected out of these men. If we looked over in chapter number 6, we would find the word that we underline, among you. The problem was solved from among you. And then in chapter 13, we'd see, In the church we would have. So the solution to the problem came from these men, from among you, and in the church. You know where the problems that we mention here today is going to come from? From these men, from among you, in the church. And so, they were available. There was a need. Can I say something about this leadership pool? Not only did the solution come from the church, but they were qualified for the task. Now again, I don't have time to really develop this morning, but let me give you the quick thoughts. They were qualified for the task. The Bible says that these two men had been there. That says they're faithful. You know where the solution to this problem is going to come from? People that are faithful in the work of God. Bible says they were honest. Out of these chapters, we find they were of honest report. They had integrity. They were trustworthy. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They were spiritual. They were void of self. They were involved. And we see the qualifications of wisdom. They were seasoned. They were balanced. They were patient. They were solid. Can I ask you a question? If leadership needs to fill a void, solve a problem, solve neglect, dispatch a work team, are you qualified? Are you ready? You say, Brother Money, you don't know my situation. They were faithful. Full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, they were there. A need seen is an assignment given. They were qualified, they were prepared. And let me give you this last thing. Not only do we see a legitimate problem, we see a leadership pool, but we see light produced. Because it came from the church, because it came from spiritual people, because it came from those that were willing and able and ready, light was produced, the Word of God was increased, disciples were multiplied, souls were reached. Because there was a legitimate problem, there was a leadership pull, and light was produced because of it. I see such great need in the world today. Everywhere I go, there's problems and issues, and every direction we face, there's woe is us. But we have the Word of God. We have the truth. We have the light. We know the way. There's billions around the world. Are you going to be a part of the solution? You say, Brother Money, I'm not causing a problem. If you're not part of the solution, you're not helping the problem. So can I say this morning? Keep being faithful. Keep giving. Keep listening. Keep walking. Keep going forward. And as God speaks to your heart, as you get pricked by the Word of God, and God shows you the need, a need seen is an assignment given. There's a need in the world today. There's a need for Bible translators. There's a need for those that will give. There's a need for those that will be missionaries. There's a need for those that will write curriculum. There's a need for those that will help in the different areas. Maybe you can't go on the foreign field, and maybe you can't do this or that, but is there a place for you? Is there a spot? Legitimate problem. Leadership pool. And light produced. Thank you, church, for being faithful. But there's more to do. More work to do. Let's be faithful in what we're doing. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. And God, I am challenged this morning by your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do what we can, be in our spot, do more. Maybe this year, God, you want us to give more. Maybe you want us to go more. Maybe you want us to research or to be a helping hand or pray more or seek your face more. But there's a legitimate problem, and the need's going to come from this pool. We just need to make sure that we're in the deep end of our faith and not the shallow end of the pool. And I pray you'd help us glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?